You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to part two of episode 80 of FPL Black Box. I hope you enjoyed part one. In this second part, I reveal my wildcard selection ahead of game week four. We also make our predictions, but first we go back to the player data and you join us as I start to look at midfielders. Okay, let's look at midfielders now. Interesting names at the top. Buendia, 148 minutes. 0.94 XGI non-penalty per 90. Obviously,
I'm sure that's not sustainable.
Not guaranteed to start. Definitely not sustainable. But started ahead of Coutinho at the weekend. And so, you know, Gerrard's team sheet has been so hard to predict. I don't think Buendia is going to be a factor in our season. Not yet, anyway. And yeah. I still don't think. Rodrigo. Talk to me about Rodrigo. 0.86 XGI non-penalty. 4 goals, 1 assist. 4.9 shots per 90. More than any other midfielder, probably more than any other player. We'll look at the forwards in a minute. What's your verdict on Rodrigo?
What is going on? That's my verdict on Rodrigo. What is happening? I listened to Seb did a great analysis on the Scoutcast about Leeds in general.
I saw that. Yeah,
he's not completely sold on the fact that Rodrigo is his first choice.
No.
I mean, there was some comments from March which very much indicated that he was. I think he said, you know, he's the captain and he's the penalty taker and he's established all that kind of stuff. So yeah, while he's banging in goals, of course he's going to be starting and in the team. But there is that kind of worry that if this does revert back to what we've seen from him in previous seasons, then he could be out. So I guess that's the decision you make if you buy him. You think, okay, is this sustainable? Is this 30.8% conversion rate?
It's not sustainable. There's no way it's sustainable. I'm not arguing that. But at the same time, FBL is often about jumping on the value options when they emerge and jumping on them early. He's about to have a second price rise this week. So he's about to go to 6.3, I believe. Right. So he is accelerating away. And the data here, if you look at it, the accuracy and conversion, the 46.2, the 30.8, when you look at his previous season, his accuracy is pretty good. His accuracy is normally around the high 30s, right? So his shot accuracy is good. But his conversion rate previously was 12.8, 15.2. It's 30.8. It's double the conversion rate. There's no way it's sustainable. His XGI non-penalty per 90, 0.86 compared to 0.26 last season, 0.55 the season before that. That will come down. So it's no way it's sustainable. But if he is having 7 touches in the box per match, if he is having 4 to 5 shots per match, he's going to be a decent, and he's on penalties while Bamford is out. It's difficult to ignore at the moment.
Well, he's going to be a player that I ignore because I'm not going to move Mount down to Rodrigo and bank the money because I'd go for one of the 8 million mids or have Gundogan and I have no other real way of getting it. I look at the fixtures of Leeds. I think if you're going to move them, you move now. Brighton, Everton, Brentford, Forest, great four games. You're going to catch all these price rises as well if you move, which can help you later down the line. He's the man in form. Leeds have got confidence. He's playing well. There's no, I can't really make a case against him. All I will say is that I still have my doubts about Leeds generally this season under Marsh. And I have my doubts about Rodrigo as a decent Premier League player. They're my concerns, and I am biased probably on previous season. I think if this is your first season watching the Premier League and you've watched the first couple of games, you think, oh my God, Leeds are amazing, really attacking this Rodrigo guy. He's elite, but I know that he's not, and I know that Leeds aren't really that great either. So I'm a bit more hesitant. But
I'm with you. I don't think it's sustainable, but for the here and now, and I'm playing my wild card, I've got to get on it.
You've got to go from a wild card. You know, if you've got the money to move from Neto up to a 6 million-ish midfielder, he's clearly the standout pick to go for over Gross, for example, that some people are doing. I think, you know, if there's some people asking about Mount replacements and stuff, I don't think there's anything wrong with going down from Mount to Rodrigo and catching these price rises, especially if it means you can use the money to upgrade someone like Sanchez, someone like Ward up to a Sanchez or even an Edison you could go up to. So all we're thinking about. There's no real negatives about him. I just can't see this. I just can't see this carrying on for that long, personally.
De Bruyne on 0.78 XGI non-penalty. Really good start to the season for him. One goal, three assists, three shots per 90, chance created per 90 of 4.04. Really, really strong. If we look at his season data over the last five seasons, he's not up by that much. It's only really his shot accuracy, which is the best over the last five seasons. His XGI non-penalty is up, though. 0.78 is the highest it's been for five seasons. 0.56 last season, 0.59 the season before that. In season 19-20, his best 0.66 was the best until these three matches. It is only three games, but the signs are good that KDB is performing at a level where he warrants that heavy hitter status, and he could rival Salah.
I really like this. I just really like this chart, you know, having kind of started with him, because, you know, the accuracy is 44.4%, but he has historically a pretty good accuracy around 35-40% anyway. It's his conversion that's down. I mean, last year it was 20%. Okay, the season before that was only 7.5%, but before that it was 13%. I mean, it is a kind of a bit of a mixed bag, but it tells me that, you know, a conversion rate of, you know, probably high around 15% probably isn't unachievable for someone of his quality. He's got more assist potential now Haaland's in the side because he's got someone to finish off the chances. I really like the role he's playing. You know, we're interlinking with Gundogan, getting forward and dropping back, and that is just working so well. He drifts over to the right and puts the crosses in. And the XGI non-penalty per 90 of 0.78, I mean, that is massive. That is so high.
It's strong.
Across his first three games. So he's going to continue to fly under the radar, I think, because people are going to stick with Salah and Haaland. And I'm more confident now than I was a couple of weeks ago that De Bruyne can match or even outscore Haaland when the Champions League kicks in.
Well, let's look at the other heavy hitters in the bracket. Let's look at Son. And this is, you know, again, perhaps by my decision to wildcard. He is up for shots per 90 and shots per box per 90 on last season. All of his shots this season have been in the box. 3.33 shots per 90. So the shot volume has gone up, which is what I hoped for. But basically, the conversion rate is zero at the moment. His accuracy is below what it was. I mean, his accuracy and conversion rate last season, 55% accuracy, 26% conversion. The season before, 52% accuracy, 25% conversion. So he's done it for two consecutive seasons. He's just not done it yet this season. But it will come, won't it? I mean, look at those last two seasons. Incredible, isn't it?
There was an interesting debate earlier about whether we should use kind of goals and points in any kind of decision making for our players. And one of the questions that was asked was, if a player goes 10 games without scoring a goal, but has really good underlying stats. So let's say, you know,
Salah did it for the second half of last season. He went a while without scoring.
And this is where we're kind of at with Son, right? The underlying stats are still pretty decent, but he's had no goals. How long do you give it before you give
up? Well, this is it.
Would some people look at this data and think, okay, Son's actually just been really unlucky. I like these stats. I'm going to buy him. I'm going to get him in and try and hit that first haul.
Yeah, I mean, I think, but the trouble is, when do I do it? It's been three games. He is playing poorly. I mean, the eye test and the opinion of his performances is low at the moment. Spurs fans don't rate his performances. They're calling for Richarlison to start. I watched the game with him as captain, so I watched and scrutinised everything he did. First touch was off. He was snatching opportunities. He had chances. He had really good chances. He hit the post. He was through one-on-one. He just, something is missing. And whether it's just variance and the ball's not dropping for him and it will at Forest and get the hat-trick. I know, exactly. And it could be. But it's like you say, when do you call it quits? Three games probably isn't enough, but other factors have, you know, compounded the fact I've played the wild card. But his XGI non-penalty per 90 of 0.47 is down on 0.64 of last season. But it's pretty much his average over the other seasons, 0.41 in 2021, 0.46 in 1920. So his XGI non-penalty per 90 is at the level we probably can expect. Last season was an outlier, perhaps. But how long do you leave it? Very, very tough, isn't it?
It is, but I just can't see Son getting 20 plus goals this season.
You don't see it?
And maybe I'm getting a bit carried away by the
he could get 20 goals,
but the reason why I'm saying he's not going to get 20 goals is because of Richarlison, and it is those X-Mins,
right? Maybe, yeah.
It's not really to do with the fact that I think he's a worse player and he's suddenly never going to score a goal for Spurs again, but I think you have to look at it from the lens of that was an absolutely incredible season that he had last year, and he's going to have to hit those heights like almost every game to get back.
I was backing him to do that.
Yeah, I just think, you know, with Richarlison there, and Richarlison is a top quality Brazilian international who's not going to. He will take his chances when he gets on the pitch. I think I can't see both of them just being out of form for the whole season. So it's going to eat into his minutes. And from an FPL perspective, 12 million. With that hanging around him.
Exactly. And the other thing is that the Kane-Son relationship, it looks different. Kane looks to be dwelling a bit more in the box, spending more time in the box, and the link-up's not quite as there. There aren't the opportunities that have been there in previous seasons. Last season, 0.9 big chances per 90 must have been a big factor in the fact that he returned 23 goals. So far this season, 0.3 big chances per 90. Small sample, I'll say it again, but that's the other thing. I haven't seen those frequent good opportunities for Son yet. And the link up with Kane looks a bit different. The dynamic looks a bit different, but it's only been three games. So we'll see. We'll see what
it'll
happens.
Come. I mean, I'm still expecting him I'm still expecting him to get 15 goals this season.
Mm.
But for 12 million, is that enough?
Yeah.
I don't think it is, especially when you take away the reliability of the captains.
Yeah. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. Now we're looking at Mo Salah. Mo Salah, look at the data so far compared to last season. He's down on everything, apart from chances created. He has created 4.3 chances per 90, double what he created last season. He made 2.02 chances per 90 last season. He's also made more crosses. Open play crosses per 90, 1.6 compared to 1.3 last season. So he's crossing more and he's creating more chances. Darwin, maybe? Maybe a change of role to some extent, maybe. But the key thing is his touches in the box per 90 are down. His shot in the box per 90 are down. His shot in the box per 90 are down. And his overall big chances are down. Everything is down, right, at the moment. It's only three games again, but it's down, right? But Liverpool are playing badly. So is the premise that, okay, when Liverpool start playing well, we'll get more out of Salah? Presumably, yes. It's very early days. But do you think there's anything in here yet? Do you think there's any indication here?
I mean, the encouraging thing is, I mean, his XGI non-penalty per 90 is 0.62.
Still strong.
In the season when he got 28 attacking returns, it was 0.63. So I always look at 0.... For some reason, I don't know what it is. It's, you know, the stats guys will probably tell me I'm completely off. I look at 0.6 and I think if I've got any of my players with 0.6 or higher, I'm fine with that. That's the kind of the high... I think 0.6 is a great metric because it's like you're going to get something from them, you know, more than once every couple of games, you know, which I really like. I mean, 0.86 is just absolutely ludicrous across 30 starts. Absolutely crazy. So, you know, 0.6 would be kind of nestled in that. I mean, in the season when he got, you know, 29 attacking returns, it was 0.74. And before that's 0.73. I mean, he's just consistently kind of absolutely crazy. But 0.62 isn't panic stations for me.
I agree. It's just the chances created and the open play crosses is quite interesting. That does point at he's passing more and he's setting up teammates more at the moment. That's what I look at and think that's a bit odd because it's double any previous season. Like, look at the chances created in previous season, 2.0 last season, 1.61, 1.87 and 1.88. It's double every other season. So he is setting up teammates more at the moment after three games.
But I've got a narrative for you, if you'd like.
Go on then.
Manny's left and they hated each other, so they were all about individual glory. And now Manny's gone, so he's become a team player. There you go.
Love the narrative. Okay, let's look at another player. Let's go back to the midfield.
Can I
table.
Just say quickly, we've got 2,590 people watching live, which is amazing.
It's a record for the stream, I think.
Is it?
Other than the Match of the Day stream, I think so. Oh, yeah.
Wow, absolutely incredible. So yeah, thank you all for watching. Do give us a like. Do drop us a comment in the chat as well if you're watching, and do make sure you're subscribed to the channel as we push on to our next suit
smash
wearing
it.
Of
30,000 subs. Yeah. Come on, we can make it. I want to talk about Zaha. He's fifth in the table, 0.66 XGI non-penalty per 90. He's a player you know and love, of course. He's playing a central attacking role for Palace, and we look at his data versus his last five seasons, as we've done for other players tonight. And look at that. Look how much green is on this season so far. Everything is up. Yes, his conversion rate is 28.6, which is very high, although he did hit 24.1 in 2021. But what's key for me is the touches in the box are double what they've been in previous season. Shot per 90 is higher than previous seasons. Only a little bit up on last season, to be honest. But his XGI non-penalty is 0.53, down on last season, actually. So some of the data was favourable, more favourable last season. But touches in the box, that kind of indicates his role that he's playing. He's getting into the box more. He's more of a threat to teams. He should convert more, right? And also, I think Palace have a little bit more about them attacking terms this season.
Oh, they do. They're a great team. And, you know, my dad's probably listening and he's probably... Actually, my dad doesn't mind Palace. I think he's got some respect for them because I think they beat Cardiff a few years ago. And if they'd lost that match... I think Cardiff would have stayed up or something like that, or been close. So my dad isn't actually a huge basher of Palace, but I will give them praise because I think I've said time and time again, it's obvious what an amazing job Vieira's done there. But I just look at their squad and the defence is boring, so boring. You know, gone are the days of Van Aanholt and all that kind of thing. But the midfield is such an exciting midfield. Oh, with
Elise.
I like Hughes is barely playing, but I like him as well. And then up front, they've got, you know, Mateta, who is kind of a solid and like quite dependable striker when he kind of gets the minutes. But then they've got Zaha as well. Like they've got loads of players in that side who can kind of like turn a game on its head and excite. And they're not just like this solid team that are just going to grind out 1-0 wins anymore. So I really like him. It's just the fixtures are bad. I mean, you know, City away, Newcastle away in six. Brighton away in eighth. I mean, none of those are particularly easy. United, we haven't really talked about United yet, and I've got to give them some praise so that people don't keep saying how much I hate them, which I don't. But yeah, I look at that and I think if I'm going to invest in Zaha, it's probably going to be a bit later in the season. I still don't think there's a huge need to bring him in right now.
The thing
now.
Is, for me, he's very good on the counter-attack. And I think, you know, against United, even at teams like Newcastle, Palace look like they're going to be a threat. And Eze's playing well and Elise's yet to come in. I think they've got a bit about an attacking term. So because he's on pens as well, 7 million, I think, again, it's like Rodrigo. I think when I'm wildcarding, I've got to get on, I think. I mean, did you see Vieira said that he's targeting 20 goals this season?
Yeah, I mean, he got 14 goals last season, 11 before that. And then his previous seasons have not been that impressive. I mean, 4 goals, 10, 9, 7. I mean, okay, now he's now playing in that kind of central kind of striker role. The pens are interesting because I don't trust him from pens at all. His record isn't bad, actually. It's better than I thought he was. He's missed 3 out of 10 and scored 7. Oh,
still not great.
I thought he was worse than that. I thought he'd missed... Right. I thought he had more of like a 50-50. But even when I watch him like run up to the ball, I still don't think he's... Because it's funny because he can look so confident in a match. Like the goal he took against Liverpool was so well taken.
I think he's easy to read when he runs up.
Yeah, he is. I don't think he's kind of got that... Like, he just looks where he's going to hit it and just... hits it there and then the cock keeps saying, I don't know, it's a bit of a story, but I mean his record isn't awful. I do like him. I do like him as a player. I've owned him before and he's one of those troll type players who you get him in and you think it's all going to go well and he's got pens and stuff and he goes on a bit of a run of not really getting anything. I mean his assists have been quite poor, you know, for quite a few seasons now. I mean, 2 assists last year, 4 the year before that, 6 the year before that. You know, so you are kind of relying on those goals with him. I think he can get them. I don't know. I think he's a good option. At 7 million, I think he's a good option, but I don't think he's like a game-breaking option yet.
I don't know. When you see, again, when you see a manager talk about a midfielder targeting 20 goals a season, and he's playing up front, and he's on pens, and he's taking his goals well, and he's in a team that can counter-attack, and he's in a team that have got good attacking players, it's really, I mean, you can see where I'm going, right? I couldn't not get him, I don't think.
I can't believe he's still there.
No, he's never got his move, did he?
There's no rumours anymore, is there? It just seems to be kind of happy and fair play to him.
He has thrown himself into it. And Vieira's arrival has made the project more attractive for him. And quite rightly, I mean, I think Eze is a special player as well. Eze is in 25th on this table, but he's been really impressive. 0.37 XGI non-penalty per 90. With Palace with better fixtures, you'd look at Eze, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But I think Zaha would be
Zaha's a standout.
Yeah. No, I think so. Just one word on Trossard before we go off midfielders, because you've got a new left wing back now. So Trossard would presumably move to a different role. Even at left wing back, he's on this table in 14th. And in terms of shot per 90 and shot in the box per 90, he's in the top 10 for midfielders so far. Hand it over to you. Absolutely no end product?
Yeah, I mean, he is what he is. I still don't think he has got much end product. Right. To be fair, I rate him so highly as a player, though. I still think he's the best player in our side. Mm. The problem is his price. I mean, if he was six, I think there's a real case for him. You know, you'd be looking at him and looking at Rodrigo and looking at Gross and thinking, okay, he's someone that can kind of fit into this. But at 6'5", I just think Rodrigo's better, and I think I'd rather save the money and go for Gross. I think Gross is up to 5'7" now, so you're still saving kind of 0.8. What is interesting with Grosso is he hasn't got penalties, like we kind of mentioned.
Calas has got.
I was a bit surprised at that, but not totally surprised. But yeah, McAllister has got them. So with Trossard, you're kind of relying on open play stuff because he hasn't really got, you know, he hasn't really got the set plays anymore. He hasn't really got the penalties. He could be playing at left wing back. I'm not sure if this new Ecuadorian guy's quite ready to fit straight into the side.
Good player, he is. He's a good player. I tell you that because Forest were after him and I did some scouting for him.
Oh, nice. Okay. I know Watford fans aren't a big fan of him because he was there, wasn't he? And I think he threw his toys out the pram about a move or refused to play or something like that. A few people comment on it. Yeah, I like Trossard. Again, I don't think he's a terrible option. His XGI non-pen is good at 0.47. I just think at 6'5", I'd rather have Rodrigo, Martinelli, Gross.
Harrison over Rodrigo. He is second only to De Bruyne and Salah. Salah has created more chances than any other midfielder so far, which is interesting. But Harrison, 3.8 chances created per 90 at the moment. He's been outstanding start to the season. 1 goal, 3 assists. But is Rodrigo still the edge for you because of the goals, or would you look at Harrison as well?
If Rodrigo's on pens like we think he is, then I think he is. If you take that away, I'd go for Harrison.
Mm. Yeah.
I really like Harrison, actually. I really like his eyes. I was a bit upset last year with his season because I think he got a hat trick in one game, but other than that, he really didn't build on the season before when he was absolutely electric. So I'd like to see him, you know, back to that. And I think he could be an impact for us. Yeah. I think six again is a good price for him. And especially if Rodrigo does end up losing his place and Bamford comes in and stuff, then I think Harrison would be the one that we get.
Okay. Quickly on to forwards, not too much to talk about here. Nunez at the top in terms of XGI non-penalty per 90 at 1.35. Then it's the players we've mentioned tonight. Jesus, 0.80. Haaland on 0.80 as well. And Kane just behind on 0.63. In between that, Watkins, 0.76. Who's surprised? I mean, Watkins, it's just Villa, though. We're not going to go there, are we? We're not going to go
there. God, no. Absolutely not. No, there's, you know, if we had no strikers to consider, maybe we would. But we've got options. Like you mentioned them. Nunez, Jesus, Kane, Mitrovic, Tony. These are all far better options than Watkins, just given how Villa play. I mean, I like Watkins. I think he's a really good player. And I wasn't surprised to see him score, in the last game. But Villa's fixtures aren't good. There's problems there as well. I think Gerrard could be in trouble if things don't turn around fairly quickly.
Yeah. Mitrovic is a standout for me, but the fixtures are poor. And the reason why I'm going Tony, if you look at the fixture ticker over from 4 to 16, this is the Fantasy Football Scout ticker, I should mention. Brentford's fixture is very strong. Just Chelsea at home, City away, but City away is not until game week 16. I will look at Mitrovic in a bit, but at the moment, you know, Arsenal, Brighton, Spurs, Chelsea, the next four for Fulham, quite a difficult run, or a very difficult run for Mitrovic. Gets better after that, but I think Tony's the one at the moment with Everton, Palace, Leeds, Southampton. Apart from the Palace game, those three of the next four, very strong for Tony, right?
Yes.
Okay, you sound worried about that.
Well, I was debating this. I think the Tony Mitrovic conundrum on a wild card is a really, really interesting one. Because when I watched the highlights of the Fulham Brentford game, but we talk about it loads about how Fulham are so set up and geared up for
Mitrovic.
Oh my God, that game. I mean, if any game could showcase just how Mitrovic plays in that side, it's that one, because the cross is coming in for him over and over and over again. I mean, Tony has got players around him that can step up. You know, they're getting goals from set pieces. He's playing in Mbeumo. You know, they've got Damsgaard coming at this number 10, and he's happy to drop deep and all this kind of stuff. And that's the only thing that worries me a little bit with him. But the fixtures are so good. I think I would still lean towards Tony. But I tell you, when those fixtures turn for Fulham,
exactly. Like, it means
no doubt.
Look at it, 5 shots per 90, 4.6 shots in the box per 90. So all these chances are in the box because they're mainly headers, let's face it. And so compared to Tony, he's 1.6 shots per 90. Nowhere near Mitrovic's level. But Everton at home is a very strong fixture. So I think I want him for that game, and he's on penalties as well, of course. So I think it's only the fixtures that make me go Tony at the moment. But Tony down to Mitrovic will be a move, I think, that many managers will make soon.
But the forwards are back already. We did a whole podcast about them. But there's four really, isn't there? Because you've got Haaland and Jesus, the absolute givens, and then you're having to choose one out of Tony and Mitrovic, when ideally you'd probably want all four.
And you don't consider Kane at all? Okay.
And Kane, I should consider Kane. Mm. Yeah, I guess I'm kind of writing him off just because I think he's not in the premiums that I would select. I would still have Salah, I'd still have Haaland, I'd still have De Bruyne over Kane. But, I mean, he is an option, of course. So that's five forwards.
Yeah, okay, let's get on to... We've done an hour and a half already. This could be anything. Let's do a prediction.
Haven't talked about your wild card yet?
No, predictions really quickly then. Current stands in the predictions, miserable week for me. 3 outcomes correct. You didn't do much better. 3 outcomes correct and 1 correct score. You got the Arsenal-Bournemouth 3-0 correct. We are locked on 47% each, 14 correct outcomes, but you are decimating me on correct scores, 6-2. So the roles are reversed. You're getting the correct scores this season.
I know.
Interesting.
I'm happy with that. I might start playing Super 6 and all those games, although 20% won't win me anything, so I might not bother.
No. And these are the predictions for game week 4. And what's interesting, for the first time, I filled mine in and then I phoned you and said, can you give me them over the phone? And you didn't see what I predicted. And you were consistently giving the same scores as me. We've both gone 2-1, United win at Southampton. You want to give a bit more credit to United for all those people who
hate
United?
Yeah. And I will say, when you send me those predictions, the first thing I do is hide your column. Genuinely.
I know, and I normally hide it before. Because
I don't want to be influenced by it. But yeah, it was interesting over the phone. But you're like, I predicted that. I want to give massive credit to United. I'm sure they care so much.
They did everything I said they needed to do, didn't they?
Yeah.
I sat here last week and I said they need to be in their face. They need to be capitalising on the injuries. They need to stop playing it out the back. De Gea needs to kick it long. They did all of that. He must have been watching Ten Hag.
I don't think Ten Hag listened to Black Box, and he was galvanised by my comments, and he heard your tactics, and that's kind of it. No, I mean, it's, you know, let's not do a whole podcast on United. We haven't mentioned them so far, but I mean, there's ways to hurt Liverpool, and there's ways to play with that United team. And the ways to play with that United team are quick counter-attacking, stop messing around, playing the short ball and get it long, and press them and force them into mistakes. And they did that. And it was a great game plan, but I don't think Ten Hag is like a tactical mastermind for doing it, because it's bloody obvious.
He did well with the sub. He did well moving Rashford over to run at Trent, who was booked. I think he made some good calls. So he's gone up massively in my estimation. I thought he was already out of his depth, but no.
He has gone up in my estimation, and I was amazed with the level of performance that he managed to get out of those players. But he did. He got them playing the basic way to beat Liverpool, and they just execute the game plan flawlessly, which I genuinely didn't think those players were capable of. I mean, it's the best game I've seen Fernandes have in like a year and a half. You know, Rashford was pressing. He looks fit again. When he hasn't before, he was pressing really high up the pitch. Martial's going to come in. I mean, there's no way back for Ronaldo and Maguire.
No, into this side.
Absolutely no way.
Can't see it. Not at the moment.
No. So yeah, impressive. The key thing though is you can't get much of a difference between going from Liverpool to Southampton, because Southampton is a game they 100% should be winning.
Yeah.
And they have to win this game, or all the momentum's gone. So I'm going to back them to do it. I think they've got the wind in their sails now.
We've both gone 2-1 there. Brentford, Everton, you've gone 1-0. I've gone 2-0. Brighton, Leeds, we've both backed a 2-1 win for Brighton. It'd be a tight game. Brighton always do well against Leeds, though. This is interesting. Chelsea, Leicester, you've gone 3-3 and I've gone 4-1 Chelsea. What the? Yeah, what are you thinking here? 3-3?
Yeah.
Really? Well, Chelsea's defence that bad?
Well, Koulibaly's out.
Yeah.
And I think Chelsea are going to have to turn it around off that last game. Now, do I think Chelsea are capable of scoring 3 goals? Unlikely. But do I think Leicester are capable of conceding 3 goals? Yes, probably. And I kind of just think this is just going to be a boxing free-for-all, just two teams just going at it hammer and tongs. So, yeah. Real.
I've gone 4-1. I think Chelsea will win convincingly.
4-1.
I think Leicester are poor. They offer stuff in attack, but in defence, they're so open. And I think Sterling could come in here. Liverpool, Bournemouth, both gone 2-0. Not too much to say about that. I think it will be a fairly routine win unless Bournemouth get a set piece. I mean, people might say, well, he's going to get a reaction. Liverpool going to rout them. I don't know. I don't know if they got it in them. He needs to refreshen it up and he hasn't got the player to do it. City Palace, we've both gone 2-1. I guess we both like Palace on the break here, right?
I like Zaha against Walker. Yeah, absolutely. I think they'll get a couple of chances, just whether they can take it.
Yeah. Arsenal, Fulham, both gone 3-1. This is ridiculous. But I think that's right. You know, I think Ramsdale has got a mistake in him, hasn't he? I mean, he's been a bit shy. I mean, when you own a player, you watch him closely. Ramsdale's given me the jitters. And I think he could make another mistake and Fulham could get a goal here.
They'll struggle against Mitrovic. They really will. He's going to cause them all kinds of problems. And I do like that Saliba and Gabriel partnership. But yeah. I think Mitrovic is just going to be... I think there's going to be few games in which I don't back Fulham to score a goal, actually. Because I think the way they've got that team set up is going to be hard for a lot of teams to deal with.
Okay. Villa 1-0, you've gone. Villa West Ham, I've gone 2-0 West Ham. West Ham are too good not to win a game. They've gone 3 games without a win, 3 games without scoring a goal. It's going to come. Villa are shaky. They're not consistent. And I think West Ham will have too much for them here. Wolves, Newcastle, both gone on a away win. Wilson out, of course, but I do think Newcastle...
Isak coming in. It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, looks good, doesn't he? 6'4", pacey, can dribble. Decent player.
What do you reckon he comes in at? 7? 7'5"?
Yeah.
Same as Wilson?
6'5", 7. Yeah, he's got to be the same as Wilson, isn't he?
6'5". They'll make him 7'5". Yeah.
So I reckon 7. Forest Spurs. I've gone 3-1 as the Forest fan. 3-1 to Spurs, that is. And as the non-Forest fan, you've gone 1-0 Forest.
Woo!
Talk to me about that. Where is that coming from?
Like I said, I just haven't been that impressed with Spurs. And I was really impressed with Forest at home when I saw them, a few weeks ago. So I think there's still some early season momentum for a lot of these promoted clubs. I think your signings are kind of bedding in and there's a bit of a buzz around the club at the moment. And I don't think it's a terrible time to play Spurs. So it's not really based on any underlying stats, but I think it's a good time to play Spurs and it's probably quite a difficult time to play Forest at home.
I think we'll give them a game. I think we could nick a goal, but our defence without Nketiah will be vulnerable, I think. We're conceding chances and it's
clean sheet might be a bit optimistic.
It's on and Kane to blank against Forest. Just can't see it.
Hey guys, Ats here from FPL Black Box. Just a reminder, this episode is sponsored by NordVPN. If you've ever missed out on your favorite TV show because it's not available in your region, or if you want to improve your overall internet security, you should give NordVPN a try. If you're bored of UK Netflix, for example, why not try switching over to the US or Japan? With just a click of a button, you can do just that. No need to travel to anywhere else for your favorite shows with 5,000 plus server options. Use the link nordvpn.com/FPL and you receive a huge discount on a 2-year plan. You also get 1 month free. Don't forget, NordVPN also helps you keep secure and your info encrypted. We know privacy is a big deal, and so you don't need to worry when using NordVPN about your IP or location getting out. Using threat protection, you can also protect yourself from intrusive website ads and malware. Even if you download an infected file, threat protection kicks in and deletes it before it makes a mess of your computer. The best thing about all this is there's literally no risk to you with the NordVPN 30-day money-back guarantee. Give it a try, and if you like it, amazing. If you don't, you can get a refund and just pretend it never happened. Just go to nordvpn.com/FPL and get your subscription started today.
By the way, 2,700...
Whoa.
In the stream at the moment watching this, which is fantastic. Thank you for joining us for this. Hope you're enjoying it. And if you are, hit the like, hit the subscribe. we're now going to look at the Captain Matrix. The Captain Matrix is where we look ahead to the game weeks and look at who do we want to pick as captains? Are there options? What game weeks are going to be problematic? Salah at home to Bournemouth, we'll talk about in a minute. Many people thinking it's a no-brainer. It probably is because it's a home win, surely. And in a home win, Salah surely gets something. So he's probably, well, he is the most reliable scorer this game week, I would say. But Jesus against Fulham. Jesus is becoming an option now that we've got to consider alongside the likes of Haaland, Salah, etc., isn't he?
I'm not totally sold on Salah this week. Jesus, not on Salah.
You're not on Salah.
Well, I look at City when they played Bournemouth, and Bournemouth put up a fight in that game more than anyone was kind of expecting. And in the end, they got done because they got unlocked by key creative midfield players. Gundogan, Haaland holding the ball up, you know, De Bruyne just being incredible. Liverpool just don't have that. They don't have that penetration to like get through, really. And they're going to be so reliant on crosses from Trent and Salah apparently crossing more and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. I went for a 2-0 Liverpool.
Yeah, so do I, yeah. We'll look at the captain data in a minute for this week. But going forward, Haaland at home to Forest in game week 5. You got Salah at home to Newcastle. That's a tough game for Salah, I think. Then you've got Jesus at home to Villa, which probably is the next best option after a City player. I probably will go De Bruyne. Then in game week 6, Salah away at Everton, Haaland away at Villa, Kane and Son at home to Fulham. Quite a few options there, I would say. Game week 7, Jesus looks good for me. Salah's at home to Wolves, but Wolves defensively look okay and they'll have plenty of possession, I think, at Anfield. Everton going to the Emirates, I think Jesus looks a great option there. And then in game week 8, I think it is Spurs because they're at home to Leicester and it's Kane or Son, I think, because Haaland's at Wolves, Salah's at Chelsea. So I think, you know, a Spurs option has it in game week 8. So that's just worth thinking about and planning. If we look at game week 6, game week 4, a bit more on that, when you look at the XGI non-penalty per 90 at the moment, three games, small sample, I'll say it for the 10th time tonight, 0.80, Jesus and Haaland tied. It looks like Jesus, you know, is a good option. But if you look at the defensive data for Fulham, 1.31 XG non-penalty conceded. I've just realised I've not sorted that column, but they're, you know, only, it's not bad, is it? It's not terrible in terms of XG non-penalty conceded per 90 compared to the likes of Forest and Leicester, that little bit more. Forest 1.57 is the worst defence on show here amongst the captain candidates. So perhaps I do expect Son and Kane to get something. And Chelsea in that Leicester game against the Leicester defence, you know, Leicester defence who are giving up more than three big chances per game. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, surely if they give Chelsea three big chances, there's going to be goals, right?
Went for three goals. Oh, it's not I went for three goals. I didn't see this stat, but yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, Mount captain.
Can I sell him
with this data though?
You look down and Fulham are giving up three big chances per 90 as well. But I guess the Liverpool game skewed it a little bit, maybe. It's hard to put any stock in data at this stage, but
one thing I do know is that Jesus has been unlucky not to get more points than he has.
Yes,
done.
Yes. And you've got to think, if Arsenal win, he returns, right?
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah.
And he's getting to the point where he's almost being considered as reliable as Salah. It's too early, isn't it, to say that?
He's got to be an option, though. He can't be treated as an 8 million striker playing for an average team. He's playing for the best attacking side in the league, and he's playing like a premium player. Mm. So I think you've got to at least consider him. I'm probably going to still go Salah, but...
Yeah, and the majority will.
Jesus is definitely an option.
So who do you think I'll go, captain?
Well, I haven't seen your wildcard team yet.
Well, there it is at the moment.
Whoa!
I say at the moment. Right? Whoa! I say at the moment. I'm not predicting a very good game week for me because I've had to get on the bandwagons. I think playing the wildcard and not going Rodrigo, Saha with the rises that they've been having, they're both going to rise 0-2 this week. I would have thought. Certainly, Rodrigo has and will tonight. I don't know if Saha will get the 0-2, but they've both gone up in price. So I think that 2,800 normally. See, the wild card has brought them in. So I've gone Rodrigo and Zaha. Neither of them are going to start this week because Rodrigo's at Brighton, Zaha's at City. I don't think I'll start them, which means I'll go the five at the back. I've had to get on Perisic as well. I think if you're wild carding, you go Perisic because he just is going to produce when he's starting. And even when off the bench, he could produce. And I expect him to start at Forest. I don't think he'll start midweek. So I'm playing 5-2-3. And yes, I've got benching headaches. I'm sure people are looking at it going, your bench is too strong. But the reason why I've gone with that to start with is I think we're going to see some rotation in midweek. And I think we're going to see some rotation from that point on with the European games amongst City, Liverpool, Chelsea, right? And with that in mind, I've got Perisic, I've got Cucurella, I've got potentially Martinelli, I've got potentially Walker who could get rotated in and out. So I think I need to have one or two players on the bench that I want to play. And I don't mean Andreas, I mean actually want to play if, you know, if when the fixtures are good. So I'm going to go with this, I think, and rotate with fixtures a little bit. And obviously, if Perisic starts at the weekend, I probably won't start Perisic for the midweek game. And I'll start Rodrigo and Zaha, who've got better fixtures. So I'm going to play around with it a bit and see what I do with this. Rip it apart. I'm sure people in the chat are doing that already, right?
Very, very mixed reception in the chat. Okay. Tricky FPL, who I believe does our predictions, the new FPL pot noodle. Hi, Tricky. He calls it a very tasty team. V. Buckley says it's unbalanced. Stephen Hodson just says no. okay, where can I start? I'm picking it. Well, I'll start at the back.
Yeah.
Five at the back is, I would say, pretty risky, given that we aren't seeing too many clean sheets.
Okay.
And especially double Chelsea defence.
But Chelsea have got the best fixtures of any big side, right? They've got great fixtures. And I do think within two game weeks, Fofana's in. So things will change. I've only just bought James, so I'm not going to get rid of him. And I don't have to play Cucurella every game because I've got the options on the bench. So if I think Cucurella's not going to play or I think Chelsea could concede, I can just play James. So that's my answer to that one.
Okay. Yeah. No Arsenal defender?
No. And I did think about potentially Cucurella to Zinchenko instead. So yeah, I'm still thinking on that. Yeah, I get that.
Walker? I know we've talked about him. He does not fill me with any kind of joy.
I know. But he is a boring pick back there. Every one of my defenders, apart from Walker, has got some attacking returns in him. But I just think I'll have him for now. But there are good options around there. And I've still got like 0. I think I've got 0-2 in the bank with it. No, I haven't. I haven't actually got nothing in the bank. But I will do the Tony to Mitrovic move in 3 or 4 game weeks. And that'll probably be the time where I use that money to do something different with the Walker slot. I think Walker will get me the next 3 or 4 game weeks because I don't think yet he's going to be displaced. And even if I do feel he's prone to rotation, I've got a bench where I can put him on the bench if I feel that. So I agree, Walker's only a kind of a short-term solution, I think, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult to really slam it because it's a lot of quite template picks. I mean, obviously you haven't got Cancelo and you haven't got Salah.
Yeah.
They're the two obvious ones. The two premiums you've gone with are very left field in De Bruyne and Kane. I mean, I barely see anyone with one of those two, let alone both of them and no Salah and Haaland. Is that mostly for X-Mins?
It's X-Mins. It's X-Mins for Kane. He's definitely got that. And if, as we said, like Kane will play 4, 5 and 6 and probably play 90 in all three. Haaland will only play 170 minutes in those three. So Haaland could still outscore Kane, but I don't think I can double on City. I don't think I want to have De Bruyne and Haaland and put everything in the City basket, particularly with the X-Men situation. I could change that when I see what Pep does with Haaland. But I still don't trust him. He says he's not going to play 3 games in a week, but I want to see it first. So,
well, that's
you know what I mean? It's like, I'm going with it at the moment. I'm banking that he's going to be true to that, but I don't know yet.
Because it's I mean, even after all I've seen today, even after all the XGI stuff I've seen on De Bruyne overperforming, even after Pep's comments, if you offered me a free swap in my team from De Bruyne to Haaland, I think I'd take it.
Would you?
I think I would. Yeah. I think Haaland is going to get more points than De Bruyne over, you know, 6-7 weeks, and he's cheaper. So I personally, I mean, I should be here saying, oh, welcome to the De Bruyne Club. It's really fun and great and everything. But I'm still,
I will say, if I don't go De Bruyne, where do I go with my midfield heavy? I go Salah, do I? So I do the thing that you were like, Salah.
Well, you need a City. You need to have.
Yeah, I need a City. So I could go Haaland up front, but then who do I go in midfield? Salah, which means I have to downgrade somewhere else. Right? I couldn't have Perisic probably, or I couldn't have. Well, I don't know what I'd have to lose. I mean, I could easily go Salah. I could do it. But my theory is that, well, it's not a theory. Liverpool aren't playing well, are they? It's not even a theory. No one can argue that Liverpool aren't playing well. And it's whether I go back on everything and I go forward with a team that has Salah and Jesus and Haaland. Yeah. That is effectively the template. Do I wildcard to the template when you're 6 million in the world? Do I do that?
Yeah, but do you worry about that when it's after game week 3? I guess that's the
Well,
that's
you
the
can
question.
Say no, but it would be kind of like, if I do think Salah's role will change when Darwin's in the team, and let's not forget, Darwin will be back in 2 game weeks' time. So number one, Liverpool aren't playing well. Number two, Darwin's back in 2 game weeks' time. I will probably consider Darwin when that happens after a few games. So I will get some Liverpool attack. But I think at the moment, I can probably risk going without it.
Because, I mean, what you could... I mean, your bench is ridiculous. Like, I've never, ever seen...
Yeah, but I'm not going to play Perisic every game, am I? There's no way I can. Because well, he's
I think
not going to
You're going to find it hard not to. I think that's the... I think that is the dice you roll with Perisic. I can't imagine myself benching him. Unless Conte is clear in the fact that he's not going to start a game or he's got injured or something like that. I just think he's going to be too risky to be the player who you bench. So it's going to be tricky to know when to bring on like Rodrigo and so on. I mean,
if Perisic starts at Forest, he misses midweek, surely. He's not going to, I would have thought, he's not going to start 2 games in 3 days. I think it's pretty signposted with Perisic. I don't think it's going to be hard to figure it out. We'll have to see. I'm going to speculate. But I would have thought if he starts 1 game, he'll miss the midweek game. And then obviously we have to see what happens in the Champions League, right? If Perisic plays in the Champions League, we're all in trouble because he's not going to play Saturday if he plays midweek, probably.
I just find it strange that you're going into a period and looking at X-Mins of like Kane and De Bruyne and saying, okay, they're the heavy hitters I want because of these X-Mins. Yeah. And then you're picking Perisic, who is so random.
X-Mins on your heavy, you can't take gamble on X-Mins with your heavy hitter. That's my argument.
Well, yeah, that. I know. Okay.
Whereas Perisic, that's the reason I've got Rodrigo and Zaha. I can bring, and also if you look at the fixtures, I've looked at the fixtures for some of these teams. You know, Arsenal go to City. Would I play Martinelli in that game or would I play Zaha at home to whoever? I've looked at the rotation combination. So I've done the planning. I've looked at when I would vary it. And there's enough there for me to get something out of this. But I might not. Obviously, I've got transfers every week as well. That's the other thing. It's like,
So you've got De Bruyne captain?
This week, yeah, at the moment. Although...
Because he's just not as good an option at Palace as Salah, is he, at Bournemouth?
No, he's not. No, I agree. But I don't... Ooh. Do I want Salah? Because that's the big thing here, is that I know it's only game week 3.
I mean, the answer
in the
is
world.
Yes, in general. But
it's only yes if you're absolutely convinced Salah's going to go on producing. And if we go back, I'm not going to bring his data up again, but at the moment he's got a 25% conversion rate, which is almost double his regular conversion. His normal conversion rate is 11, 12, 13%. So he has, at the moment, he's outperforming what he normally would do. He's taken both his chances he's had, his good chances. And Liverpool playing poorly, he will still return against Bournemouth, I'm pretty sure. But Darwin is back after that. And I think that will change his... It's a gamble. You're sitting there trying to talk me into go Salah.
I'm just presenting all of the... I think you need someone just to, you know, be the voice of reason sometimes.
I'm six million in the world, that, right? Where I can't go much lower. I can go lower. But
you can always go lower, Mark.
But I think I would be going against that.
But
policy at the start of the season, if I go Jesus, Salah and Haaland, which is what you're saying, where do I make up ground? It could, and no one's changed. I'm not changing that team once I have those 3, am I? Because that's the point as well. Right? I look at the managers who've got those players. They ain't changing unless Haaland's going to miss loads of games. Unless Haaland really is going to miss midweek games a lot or miss some league games. I don't think anyone's moving on Jesus, Salah and Haaland for a long time, right? So all of my captain options are going to be in parallel with all this, most of the managers above me. So I can't get ground there unless I deliberately go the non-favourite captain every week, which I could do, I guess, right? So I could try and make up ground in that way.
I find it difficult because, like, I want you to play your own game and I want you to... you know, go without Salah and go for Kane and all that stuff. And everything you say makes sense and stuff. It's just, if someone said to me, do I need Salah at home to Bournemouth?
Oh, yeah. But
I would say, well, yeah, of course you do. It's Salah at home to the one of the worst teams in the league in a home match.
So, yeah, but you said yourself, you said about 10 minutes ago, you're not sure about Salah for captain, didn't you? Yeah, you did.
Well, I did. Yeah, I did.
Right,
yeah,
okay. Okay.
I don't want him. Yeah. Mm. I mean, I think the key thing for me would be if I was wildcarding right now, I would have a way in 2 weeks' time to bring Darwin in. That would be my thing. So the fact you've got so much money on your bench,
yeah, but
I guess is a good thing because it means you can.
Well, Tony will either go to Darwin or Mitrovic soon, won't he? I think. But I mean, Darwin's got to come back in. We've got to give him a couple of games if he starts. It's not going to be immediate. No one can jump back on Darwin, can they? So Salah could do a lot of damage to me in that time. But I think De Bruyne is playing well. I think De Bruyne has outscored him to this point. And let's face it, Salah has been a bit fortunate to get the points he's had to this point, given his performances, right? I don't think anyone can dispute that. And De Bruyne has already outscored him, even with that. And if Haaland's going to get as many goals as you think, is De Bruyne not going to pick up points? I think De Bruyne is okay.
De Bruyne is going to do well. Don't get me wrong. I just think if you were to offer me one, yeah, no, I don't mind. I mean, would you not go Jesus captain? You'd still keep
it on possibly. I've got it on vice at the moment. I'm thinking about that as well. Yeah, there's a long time to go. It's Wednesday night. There's a long time to go. But I think I need to do something. I need to get on Rodrigo and Zaha as the bandwagons because one or both could hold their form and be real bargains over the season. And if I don't get on them at the moment, I think it's a bit silly. You've got to take that gamble. I don't think Rodrigo's a long-term pick. Zaha could be. I think Zaha could be in the team for a while. Rodrigo probably unlikely because he's going to regress massively, I think. So I think I have to do that. And then it's whether or not I have to get Jesus because he's playing so well, right? Salah's not playing well. I don't have to get Salah. It's just the Bournemouth fixture, of course. Are they going to win 6-0 and Salah gets a hat trick? You wouldn't say it was likely, would you?
I don't think
we've seen.
I'm very confident that he's going to get something fairly decent in that match. I guess that's the difference maker. John Shelley makes a good point about the wild card in the chat that I hadn't seen, which is we talked about the home games and you presented that brilliant chart of you know, home games and over the next five home games. We said, okay, 3 City and 3 Arsenal is a must. We've only got 2 of each.
Yeah.
Is that a concern?
So I could go Haaland over Kane and add the double City for the 5 home games in 7. But if Haaland's going to miss a couple of those, it doesn't.
I'd be tempted to move Perisic down to Zinchenko and move Zaha up to Gundogan.
Yeah, I've looked at Gundogan. Yeah, and I've got some stats on him, but I'm not going to show it now because it's getting late and we've nearly done 2 hours. But yeah, Gundogan is the player that I most want to get in at this point. And I've had him and then put him out. Had him, put him out. And I did look at that as well. So he's definitely almost on the next in line on the watch list if they're going to make a change. It's just the Salah thing, isn't it?
Chat likes my suggestion of Perisic down.
Perisic down to what? To Zinchenko?
Perisic down to Zinchenko and Zaha up to Gundogan. That gets you the two extra Arsenal and City players that we've said so much.
I really fancy Zaha. That's the trouble. I really like
him. He's a good-looking guy, so I don't blame him.
No, but you know what I mean? I do think he could, and he got, 15 goals last season. I think he could be good value of where he is at the moment because I think Palace have just got that little bit more attacking edge this season. But I think Zaha's not an easy player to lose in this wild card.
You'd rather have Gundogan over Zaha.
I would. But is X-Men's an issue with Gundogan? Is he going to play European games? We don't know that.
He's the captain now.
Yeah, so is he going to play?
He'll miss the old game. I think he probably will. I think Bernardo Silva's not going to leave, is he? And he's going to take some minutes. I mean, Calvin Phillips, we haven't even mentioned him. I mean, surely he plays
in Europe, a bit
as well.
Yeah. Now, Gundogan is, I've done a table for him. I'm not going to bring it up. So he was very much in my thinking and he was in until last night. He was in. So, that's something I'm going to consider. But the Salah or the going Salah, Jesus, Haaland, I think it's so difficult to do, isn't it? Do you play a wild card at 6 million in the world and just jump on those 3 players? I mean, of course, if I want to just gradually work my way up the ranks, then yes. And not go down any further, then yes, I totally agree.
Mm.
But it shows, I don't know,
difficult position.
Oh, it is.
You couldn't easily move for Jesus. And I think you've basically wildcarded for Jesus.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And the fact I think Son will probably miss a game, yeah. So I can't carry him either.
Yeah. So. But it's just so frustrating. Like having to wildcard for an 80% owned player is good because it's not showing stubbornness, but it's bloody annoying. So I do completely get it. But yeah.
If Salah was playing well, I don't think I could put an argument up. But Liverpool and Salah aren't playing well. So that's why I look at it and think, yeah, I think I could probably go without him. But it's not just bringing Salah in low, it's then going Kane to Haaland and then having those three who are so massively owned. And people will say, well, that's the reason to have them. But not when you're 6 million in the world, it isn't.
Game week three. I think the tricky thing is, it's definitely not a week I would like to wildcard because there's such a small player pool.
Thanks.
Born out by poor pricing and good fixtures for top teams. So it's not an easy week to wildcard because your team is just going to look the same as everyone else's. And it's hard to find these kind of different makers.
When's they going to... I mean, we've debated this on Twitter this week. When are people going to play their wildcard?
I'm hoping, there's people
who can't even make a transfer this week. They're burning it.
No, I know. It is bad. And, you know, us poor content creators having to deal with and make content all week about this kind of stuff, it isn't easy.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like I think there's so many teams that look identical at the moment in terms of the heavy hitter distribution, the back five. It's hard. I looked at whether I should play the wild card now, but looking forward, I was going, when's going to be a worse situation than 6.2 million in the world without Jesus and with Son playing, who could miss a game in the next two or three games?
Well, Jesus could just bury you. I think in your position, I had to do it. I think you had to. Yeah. Mm. I think the thing that you kind of need to balance is then trying to force, you know, kind of picks into the team just to be a bit different and to kind of differentiate your side. But I know it's not easy. I'm not doing that.
I'm putting Kane in for the X-Mins over Haaland. And I'm putting De Bruyne in because I think he can outscore someone.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. This is what I mean. I think that the key difference maker that you can get will come in a few weeks, and that's Darwin. So I would say if you're wildcarding now, have that plan in place of how you're going to get to Darwin, up from Tony probably. And that would be my kind of justification for doing something a bit different. That's what I think.
Tough. Very tough. Yeah. Very tough indeed. You did put a cheap wildcard together for me. I'm bringing this up now. So this is like flushing the money out of the back, and you're able to get Salah, Kane, and Haaland then.
Yeah.
With that. Do you want to talk for the team for the podcast? I just remembered I didn't for the podcast go for my wildcards. I better do that. It's Sanchez, Perisic, Trent, James, Walker, Cucurella, De Bruyne, Martinelli, Jesus, Kane, and Tony, and on the bench, Rodrigo, Zaha, Andreas, and Ward, my reserve keeper. That's the wildcard I've got at the moment. Probably will change. We won't talk about that anymore. We'll go on to this cheap wild card. And as you want to talk through that, it's got Sanchez in goal, Cucurella, Saliba, Perisic, Trippier. You want to take us from there?
I'll just do the rest. Salah, Gundogan, Martinelli, Kane, Haaland, and Jesus. So the idea of this is to, if you're of the opinion that big at the back is dying off and actually these players are conceding too many goals, not getting great attack returns, the XGI, a lot of these players, Cancelo isn't amazing. You know, James at 0.3 and Chelsea aren't that great. Well, the idea is you take James down to Cucurella and save yourself a million. You get Saliba in, who's cheap and starting at 4.5. You have Perisic as your premium defender with the attacking potential, and you have Trippier. And going for all these players, you know, not costing any more than 5.5, lets you then get in these really good price players of Gundogan, Martinelli, and Jesus. And then you flock it with the three premiums of Salah, Kane, and Haaland.
Mm.
And, you know, I know people don't want to lose Trent and they don't want to lose James and all that, but that front six, I think, is really, really powerful. And when you look at the back four, you know, with the Arsenal and Chelsea fixtures the way they are, Perisic with the attacking potential and Trippier just looking outstanding and Newcastle playing well, I think it is viable to consider.
Yeah,
coming out of defence.
I was surprised at it. I mean, no Trent, that's the big thing, obviously. But you could stick Trent in and see what damage that does. So I'll look at it. It's interesting, actually, you put this together on FBL team. This was predicted to get 55 points over the over game week four. My wildcard was predicted to get 57. But my original team was predicted to get 60. So there you go. But what does that mean? Yeah, what do those models mean? You know, Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. And it's made me think, maybe I do need to get some more money out as well as Cancelo. Do I need to sell in trend?
Because I think that is the route that you could go down if you want to be a bit different on the wild card. And, you know, everyone has still got expensive defenders. They just have. So that's the way
I like the fact you've got Gundogan as Kane and Kane as two players that you can literally cheer for. I don't think you can cheer for Salah, Haaland, and Jesus and Martinelli. Everyone's got them. You can cheer if you like, but you ain't getting anywhere with those four because most managers have got them. Gundogan and Kane, they haven't. So when they score, when they return, that's generally going to be a rank boost for you, right?
Yep.
You're only going to lose rank when Trent or City keep a clean sheet.
Which they definitely will.
Yeah. Or Trent gets a return. Yeah, so which they will. So you will. It's a trade-off. I like it, but I think obviously some matches you're not going to get starts from Perisic is the other factor as well. And then Haaland, you might not get starts from Haaland. So there are problems here. It depends on how the rotation goes. Does it matter though? Does Haaland still score in 20 minutes off the bench? Probably, given that defences are tired and stuff. So maybe it's not a bad thing.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's bring your team up. How are you looking for game week four? As you want to talk
about it, always upsetting when you see wildcard teams and things.
Your team looks great. What are you talking about?
I don't think I'm in too bad a place. I mean, obviously, I've got Ward in goal, who's the kind of the big problem. I've got Trent, Cancelo, James, Perisic, Zinchenko, Salah, De Bruyne, Mount, Martinelli, and Jesus, and then a bench of nobodies: Iverson, Andreas, Archer, and Greenwood. What I'm thinking of doing is doing Mount down to Gundogan and Ward up to Sanchez or Raya.
When
we talked about Raya, that would be for a hit.
Really like.
But I just, what's the point of having Ward? He's just gonna keep getting one pointers. Like Leicester are just awful, and I'm expecting him to concede three goals against Chelsea. So,
and Raya at home to Everton. I think he's moving and they don't start him.
I'm actually leaning towards Raya given the fixtures, because I'll be wildcarding, you know, when that good fixture run ends. So. Mm. I think what I'm going to do is Iverson and Mount out to Raya and Gundogan, and then I think I've got a good team going forward.
Yeah, I like it. I like the Gundogan move as well, as I said. Definitely impressing. I think you're set up well, but it's hard. It's going to be hard. I mean, to make up ground from 3 million. I mean, that's why if you do get rid of De Bruyne and you do get Haaland, you're moving closer to that template. It's a very difficult season for this, isn't it? I think it's one of those seasons where you've got to be really patient, and your rank will improve. You can jump like a million in one game, right? But I think you're going to get to the half million mark, and then it's going to be a slog.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I was talking to Gianni earlier. He's 2 million as a video for Scout. He was 2 million in the world, and he played Neco Williams over Pereira. So it was a difference of 7 points, I think.
Yeah.
If he'd played Pereira, he'd have gone up 800,000 places. So there was just 7 points separating, nearly a million places. So I completely agree. I think getting into the top million, in theory, it should be achievable over a few weeks. But then pushing down into that top 100K is going to be really tough this season.
And unless something like Darwin comes in and breaks it up, Sterling does well and breaks it up, then or we get an injury, which we don't want, but that could shake it up as well. At the moment, I think it's going to be hard to... You could plateau at 500,000, then it'd be really up and down and there. Very, very difficult.
No one wants that, do they? Plateauing around that rank.
Well, I did it. I plateaued at 200K, just couldn't get anywhere after that.
It's not a fun way to play.
It's really frustrating, Okay, we've done just over the 2 hours, Az. Let's look at the Black Box Leagues to round it off. Norfolk and Chance, the classic FBL team name, James Allen.
Norfolk and Chance, I've just got that.
There we go. Have you not heard of that before?
I've heard of it so many times, but I've never heard it read aloud.
Oh my God. Seriously? Oh my. Not watched Columbo, not heard Norfolk and Chance. We're probably, now we've got to make this an 18 as well.
There goes the sponsor deals.
James Allen is top on 241. Stephen Browner, who was top last week, on 240, right behind him. And then Daniel Eberhard on 237. Just another shout out as well for Natalie, who's still beating us,
obviously. She's already beaten us this season. I've given up even trying to chase her.
What an outstanding start to the season she's had. I don't know what to do now. I'm in a quandary. We've had our biggest audience of the season so far, of the whole series so far. since we've started Black Box. That's what a wild card does. That's what a suffering, struggling Mark does. It brings people to watch, doesn't it?
I'll tell you what we'll do, Mark.
I'll just keep getting worse. That's what
We'll do a match of the day challenge.
That's what we'll Saturday. Do. Woo! Oh, wow.
Yeah, baby. Match of the day challenge.
See, that's another reason. Do you want me to have Salah going in? Because that just makes that a complete non-event.
Absolutely not.
Exactly. There you go.
Absolutely not. If we log on to Match of the Day Challenge on Saturday and we've got 3,500 concurrent views and you haven't got Salah, he's getting a hat trick.
No, it could be they're there to watch De Bruyne get a hat trick for me and celebrate with me. It could be that.
I'm sure you've got such a lovely audience who wouldn't at all like.
It's not just our audience. That's any. And we all like watching agony, don't we? And so if I got Salah made in captain, the Match of the Day Challenge would be a non-event as. So surely you don't want me to do that.
No, I don't want that. And you remember my WhatsApp messages to you all week have been saying not to get Salah.
Yeah, so why are you trying to talk me into it?
Because publicly, Mark, I've got to look like I'm, you know, respectable. Right. We can't both be singing and slagging off Salah or people are going to stop listening.
For the sake of entertainment, given that I'm 6 million in the world, and I said at the start of the season, Forest are going to do me over at some point this season. And arguably, they already have, right? Because Johnson's already scored and I sold him. But like, arguably, I should be captaining. I should, like, when City play Forest at home, I should captain De Bruyne. But I don't think I can, or Haaland. I don't think I can. I don't think I can captain a player against my team. Things like that are going to get in the way of my season anyway. And I'm 6 million. So in the name of entertainment, I should not get Salah just for that, really, shouldn't I? But
absolutely. You can't get Salah. I ban you from Salah. You are banned.
All right. Well, we'll see what I do. There's going to be a lot of... I mean, you know, I have been up to 2 or 3 in the morning already in the last few days deliberating this wild card. I have had holiday, by the way. I've been off work. So, you know, I've got tomorrow off. I've got Friday off with the kids. How late am I going to stay up tonight playing with this wild card? I'm going to be a zombie, aren't I, for the next 2 days because I'm going to be on Spaces. People are going to be slacking me off on there. Oh, I can't do it, as I've just got to settle.
Members video with Andy as well.
Oh, yeah, on Friday. Yeah. And then Match the Day Challenge. It's going to be a rigorous few days.
Match of the Day Challenge. That's going to be... At least you haven't got to see Son's hat trick. You can wait till Sunday for that.
Oh, yeah. I'll only see it in person. That will be all right, won't it? This will be it. I'll be watching my team getting destroyed by the player that I backed and then sold in the wild card. That'll be like the biggest kick in the balls ever. If it goes from a Salah hat trick and a Match of the Day challenge to the Sunday Son scores against Forest, where am I going to be come Monday? I'm going to be in the gutter, aren't I? And we'll have 4,000 watching next week then. All right, that's enough. It's a good night for me.
Amazing. Thank you, everyone. Good night and see you on Saturday for Match of the Day Challenge.
Podcast Network.